welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can solve. Greetings, radio family. This is Sister Judith, and I'm so happy and so blessed and so pleased to be able to minister to you as we continue on, and with the Lord's help, we'll perhaps finish, at least for this time, our brief visit on the subject of worship, because that's a subject that I don't believe can be exhausted. But I like to revisit the subject from time to time, and so with the Lord's help, we'll do that today. And as I've been sharing, worship is all about the Lord. It's not about us. It's not about what we can get if we worship God. It's not about the blessings we can receive if we praise God, but it's because of who He is. There's a song out, you know, I love you just because of who you are. And that is the heart of a worshiper, that we love God because He first loved us. We're so grateful, not only for our great salvation and the price that was paid, but what He did to care for every aspect of our lives, our spiritual, physical, emotional, financial, circumstantial needs. He meets all of our needs according to His riches in Christ Jesus. How grateful, how thankful we are. And it's just a natural phenomenon that we want to be able to thank God. Just as earlier this week, I was sharing about the blind man who was born blind from birth. Once he discovered Jesus, after he'd been cast out of the temple and Jesus heard what had happened to him, and he revealed himself to the blind man, because remember, he didn't see Jesus. He was blind when Jesus ministered to him and took that clay and put it on his eyes and directed him to go to the Pool of Siloam and wash. He hadn't seen Jesus, but here was Jesus in front of him. And when he said, "It is I that healed you, I am the Son of God," that he fell down at his feet and worshiped him. And so he didn't have to be taught, he didn't have to be instructed, but that was the immediate and overflowing response of his heart. And so for worship to be truly meaningful, beloved, it means we must selflessly and completely give ourselves to God first. Remember David when he danced before the Lord? Well, watching from a window, his wife Michal, who was Saul's daughter, saw him, and she despised him in her heart because he was, as far as she was concerned, acting like a fool. He was playing and dancing and twirling before the Lord of hosts as the ark was being brought to the tabernacle of David. And she despised him. Yet nonetheless, as a result, David said, you know, it's God chose me over your father's house. And it says that she was spiritually, she was barren the rest of her days. And I believe if we ever get into a place we become critical of those who are worshiping God, if we don't understand why some people are demonstrative, why they raise their hands, why they get excited, because if you really study the Word of God, you'll find that we're to worship God with our entire being, body, soul, and spirit. Let them praise His name in the dance. The lifting up of hands, let it be as the evening sacrifice. My prayer be set for you, before you as incense. There are actual shout unto the Lord, all you people, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. We're to use our body, all that we are, to worship God. And if we don't, we risk, as Michal, the sentence of being spiritually barren. You know, there's so many paradoxes in our Christian life, and that's why the natural man can't understand the things of God. For example, Jesus said you have to lose your life to find it in Matthew 10:39. And in John 12:25, he said you had to hate your life to keep it. In Matthew 23:12, he said you have to humble yourself to be exalted. And so we must give of ourselves completely and totally to the worship of God, and only then will we receive abundant spiritual blessings in return. You know, if anyone says, well, let's worship God, let's do it as quickly, conveniently, cheaply, and effortlessly as possible, they don't understand the very essence of what worship is all about. There are those who think that the praise service, as a church service begins, is just about, you know, waiting for enough all the people to get in there that are running late. No. You know, God would not accept leftovers from his people in the days of the prophets, and he will not accept anything less than the very best we have to offer. For example, in Isaiah 1:11-15, he says, to what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me, saith the Lord? I am full, in other words, he's fed up, of the burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed beasts. I delight not in the blood of bullocks or in lambs or of goats. When ye come to appear before me, who hath required this at your hand to tread my courts? Bring no more vain oblations. Incense is an abomination unto me. The new moons and Sabbaths, the calling of assemblies, I cannot away with. It is iniquity, even the solemn meeting. Your new moons and your appointed feasts, my soul hateth. They are a trouble to me. I am weary to bear them. And when you spread forth your hands, I will hide mine eyes from you. Yea, when you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. What does he say? Wash you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil, learn to do well, seek judgment, relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless, plead for the widows. Come now, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white. They should be white as wool. And so you see that in very strong language, the prophet is declaring the word of the Lord that God just hates hypocrisy, and he wants our very best. Beloved, Jesus said, if we give, it will be given to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be put into your bosom, for with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. That's Luke 6:38. Well, beloved, that's also true in worship. As we really give ourselves, you know, there's a song I remember, a dear sister, she's with the Lord now, used to sing, you can't beat God giving, no matter how hard you try. That's the truth. Jesus said himself, it's more blessed to give than to receive, for it is only in giving that we really can receive. That's Acts 20:35. In fact, Paul is speaking, I have shewed you many things, how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak, to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. For a person whose primary concern is, what's in it for me? They simply don't understand what worship is all about. Jesus said in that fourth chapter of John to the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman, he said, you must, the Father is seeking those who must worship him in spirit and in truth. So worship emanates from the spirit of man. Paul said, for God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son. That's Romans 1:9. And because God is spirit, the true worshiper will worship God with that part of himself that is made in the image of God, and that is his spirit. So worship springs forth from the inner man, from the spirit, and it includes our intellect, our mind, our will, our emotions, and also our very body, all that we are. And as far as the kind of worship, there's many different kinds of worship. And it depends on the attitude of the heart. It depends what's going on at any given time. At times, for example, the heart will be joyous and excited. Remember when Miriam and the women of Israel worshiped God following their great deliverance from the Egyptian army when they were drowned in the Red Sea? That's Exodus 15:20-21. They were excited. The horse and rider he has thrown into the sea, and they worship God. They danced. There's times worship can be, there used to be an old song we used to sing years ago in the 70s. Let's get all excited. Let's go tell everybody that Jesus Christ is Lord. Now, there were a lot of songs we sang back then, songs of testimony of what the Lord has done. And those give honor and glory to the Lord. But I'm grateful for the songs that emerged beyond that period where they really focused. They were scriptural songs. They concentrated on the glory of the Lord, the majesty of the Lord. He is worthy. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and praise. For thou hast created all things, and for thy glory they were and are created. So many of those beautiful songs that just focus on the Lord. And so it depends really on where we're at, and the Holy Spirit even orchestrates that. Other times, you know, our heart may be sorrowful and subdued. We offer truly a sacrifice of praise. Remember in 2 Samuel, the 12th chapter, that was verses 19 and 20, David worshiped following the death of his infant son, who was the son of Bathsheba. And so the mood obviously is very different, but worship was acceptable in both cases. And beloved, we are to worship in truth. The only way that we can acceptably worship God is to worship Him according to His Word. So that means we must worship God, first of all, not men. We can't worship idols. We're not to have any other God before us. And in this, you know, in this present era, we're not worshiping, you know, statues or figurines, but it's possible to have idols in our heart, like our career, our job, our family. Jesus said, if you love father, mother, or anyone more than me, you're not worthy of me. And so we can't let anyone at all come between us and the Lord. We're not to worship demons. We're not to worship angels. Jesus said in Matthew 4:10, you shall worship the Lord your God, and Him only shall you serve. So at the end of a time of worship, the questions that each of us should ask are not, did I enjoy it? Did I get anything out of it? But rather, was God pleased? Did I give my very best? That's what the Lord is looking for. He wants our very best. Praise God. And Father, we just thank you, as we've shared just this short time on such a vast subject of worship, that you'll rekindle the desire for us to worship you with all that we are in every aspect of our lives, not just in singing songs, but Lord, let our life be an act of worship and praise to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Well, it's been a blessing to minister to you this week. I thank you for joining me, and I invite you to tune in next week when we'll see what the Lord has for us. God bless you. Thank you for listening. And if you have prayer needs, remember that to email or send that letter. It doesn't have to be long. And I will send back to you whatever God will give, which I know will be a blessing. God bless you. I love you. And until next time, this is Sister Glasse. May God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
Well, this has been the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Sister Glass. Thank you for spending time with us. We pray it's been a time of ministry and encouragement for you. If you would like to write to Sister Glass, there are a couple of ways you can do so. You can write and address your envelope to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. Or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop Sister Glass an email. Again, write to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho, 83606, or send her an email through our website, unveiledchrist.org. And please remember that your prayers and tax-deductible support allow this ministry to continue on this station. Until next time, God bless. Oh, behold.